always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Tuesday afternoon by you guys. Today on the show, we're going to pick up where we left off with Harrison yesterday when, at the end of the episode, he and I found out that Jeannie Buss was going to sue her siblings again, with the intent to, you know, continue on as controlling governor of the Los Angeles Lakers. And she sent out, or her lawyer sent out, a statement on her behalf. She called out Shams, she called out Jesse, she called out Joey. Did not mention Jim or Johnny, or Jeannie for that matter, who are all involved in this as well, which I find kind of interesting. And at the heart of all of this, or as all of this is going on, I keep finding myself asking myself and other people who, you know, I've spoken to since, it's like, who is this for? What are these efforts for? Is this actually what is best for the Lakers, to be held up once again in court for the sake of Jeannie continuing to run the Lakers with her brunch gang? And I don't know. I don't know who this is actually for, who it benefits, and if it's in any way, shape, or form actually what's best for the Lakers. So we're going to talk a little bit about all of that. And I'm just realizing that I didn't update the graphics on here, so give me a quick second to do that. I'm trying to squeeze this episode in. I have plenty of time. It's not squeezing it in necessarily, but I'm recording this before I have to go pick up Avery. And I might regret doing that, because when I was picking up Avery was when all this stuff broke yesterday. But we'll see how this goes. A reminder before we dive in, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications both for the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the show. If you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form in the morning or whenever it drops, please hit me with a subscribe there as well, no matter where it is that you listen to your podcast. And then today's show is brought to you, as always, on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and you will get $150 worth of Prize Picks selections when you sign up. Use that code and win a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in. You guys can kind of hear it in my voice a little bit. I'm a little tired. I'm just a little fed up. We'll see. This usually leads to a rant here and there, but I'm going to get through this episode. We're going to get through this together, and then hopefully we'll exit out the other side of all of this with a better understanding of who is going to be running the Lakers, making any kind of decisions for the Lakers moving forward. All right. So we start yesterday with, or we ended yesterday kind of laughing and joking about Jeannie and her efforts to, you know, continue to run the Lakers. Now we laughed at them because it was just kind of laughing at all of the ridiculousness that was going on. But it was just, you know, I also couldn't help but kind of laugh at it a little bit, because, you know, none of this stuff like should matter all that much, but here we are anyway. So I guess really quickly, it's worth kind of resetting to go run through a quick timeline of how we arrived here in the first place. So first and foremost, according to Dave McMenamin of ESPN, Jeannie Buss hears about the situation with Mark Walter and how it had eroded around him as quickly as it did, and found out that Walter was getting ready to sell his stake in the Lakers to Bob Iger, to Josh Kushner, and to the rest of their group, which, by the way, might overlap with Walter's group, which is just perfect. So Jeannie finds out about that, instructs the Lakers senior VP of finance, Joe McCormick, to call for an emergency meeting of the Buss siblings. This all took place last Monday to discuss a dissolution of the family trust, seeking a unanimous approval to lock down all the family shares for 4 years under a new trust. Trust is a hilarious word at the center of this entire saga, because there appeared to be, at the end of this thing, zero trust between the key figures of that trust. So Jeannie calls this emergency meeting, and in that emergency meeting neglects to mention the fact that the Lakers were getting ready to be sold again, this time from by Mark Walter to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger. This, I'm told, was one of the final straws that broke the other siblings' backs, right? The other bales of hay that had gotten things to that point was the fact that Jeannie had sued or fired all of the remainder of her siblings, and they didn't exactly hold her in the highest regard, and had grown frustrated, I'm told, by the fact that she did all of that maneuvering, you know, simply to, you know, for what she kept saying was what was best for the Lakers, only to find out that she sold to Mark Walter, who, you know, was under investigation at the time that she should have been vetting Mark Walter, and sold to him when he didn't have enough money to actually buy the team, which put the team and its brand at risk. So that, you know, all of the maneuvering, all of that stuff, all of that to just arrive at selling to Mark Walter in the first place. And by the way, I'm told that the you know, some members of conversations surrounding the sale to Mark Walter felt that Jeannie Buss had negotiated off to the side with Mark Walter that she would continue running the team for 5 years. That was something that the other parties involved didn't necessarily know about. So again, ironically, at the heart of this trust issue was a complete lack of trust. Fast forward now to Jeannie getting word that Mark Walter, because of the investigation that he had that was landing at his doorstep, because his efforts to bribe Donald Trump into some kind of a pardon hadn't worked to that point, he was going to have to sell. And when Mark Walter sold to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger, the remaining Buss siblings could enact this piggybacking clause that has been reported on out there, which allowed them to, at that point, vote again to whether or not to sell as a part of this new sale of the Lakers, which is why Jeannie Buss, when she caught wind of Iger and Kushner buying the Lakers from Walter, she called that emergency meeting to lock down those shares so that her siblings couldn't vote the way that they did.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
Eventually, those siblings find out about it. They decide, nope, enough. We're good here. Your instincts on Walter were incorrect. Your instincts on Palinka have been incorrect. Your instincts on the Rambai have been incorrect. It's over. Enough. And they vote to sell the Lakers or the remaining shares of the bus trust fund to Iger and Kushner. Obviously, at the same valuation that Walter sold his shares to Iger and Kushner and their group for, thus ending the bus era with the Los Angeles Lakers. And that's where Harrison and I picked up the story when we started recording, was to discuss all of those machinations and our feelings about them, all that stuff. I hope you guys check out that episode. And then at the tail end of that episode, the timeline takes another step forward, and we come to find out that Jeannie Buss and her lawyers are doing all that they possibly can to, through litigation, sue for continued control of the Lakers. And her argument is that her vote is the only vote that matters because she's the controlling governor. According to her lawyer and according to the language used in that initial sale contract, the argument is that, everything needs to be done, at least for the next 4 years, to maintain Jeannie's control over the Lakers, which kind of sort of tells you what is most important to her. It's not about what's best for the Lakers. Otherwise, she wouldn't have sold to a guy in the middle of a federal investigation. She in selling to Walter in the first place and in conducting that side negotiation so that she could continue running the Lakers for that 5-year window, she told us right then and there what she thought or what she prioritized most. To tell Mark Walter, who, yes, at that time was, at the heart of a federal investigation, at the center of a federal investigation, financial crimes aside, to tell Mark Walter, given all the success that he's had with the Dodgers, no, you're going to have to hit pause for 5 years on Dodgerifying the Lakers so that I can continue running the Lakers. That tells me, somebody who paid very close attention to Mark Walter's, incredible success with the Dodgers, that tells me Jeannie didn't care what was best for the Lakers in that moment or in that sale. What mattered more to Jeannie Buss in that sale was that she would continue running the Lakers the way that she was running the Lakers and that her friends would continue on with her running the Lakers. She also took care of her friends at a time where she was firing and or suing her other siblings, right? So she's always told us what has mattered more to her through this, by her actions. She has told us that what matters is that she runs the Lakers and she and her friends run the Lakers and she and her friends benefit from the Lakers. Remember, as part of the negotiation and the sale with Mark Walter, Tim Harris, Rob Pelinka, the Rambi, and other members of Jeannie's inner circle, they got bonuses from that sale of the Lakers from the Buss Family Trust to Mark Walter in the first place. So now when it comes time, or when Mark Walter decides to or is forced to sell the Lakers, Jeannie no longer has that control to negotiate for herself anymore. And her siblings can now vote to sell the team out from under her and wrestle that control away from her, not even for themselves, but just to get it away from her and obviously to cash in to the extent that they did. Jeannie again is telling us, all right, this, you know, what matters most to Jeannie in this moment right now is that she continues on as owner and controlling governor of the Lakers. And I'm trying to find the statement itself. Let's see. All right. So, gosh, all of this is so annoying. I just want to talk about Kuminga. All right. So the initial statement from the Lakers or from the Buss family to ESPN was, quote, "We have decided as a family to sell the remaining Buss family trust shares to the Bob Iger Group as part of the ongoing transaction, that piggybacking clause. We love the Lakers fans, and will continue to support Los Angeles, but it is time to use this opportunity to move on and exit gracefully while we still can." While we still can, as an addition or as the end of a statement in this kind of moment, is insane, right? Because that implies something else is coming. And I'm sure and the people that I've spoken to weren't exactly shocked when they found out that Jeannie Buss was going to, through her lawyers, contest this decision by the rest of her Buss siblings. So while we can, kind of sort of implied what was coming. So eventually, let's see. I'm trying to find Jeannie Buss's. Why can't I hate what happened to Google? All right. In her statement, Buss's lawyer. All right. This is the first graph of the statement from Jeannie's lawyer here. So as you know, this afternoon, Shams Charania of ESPN falsely reported that the six Buss siblings voted to sell the 17.8% ownership stake in the Lakers to Josh Kushner and Bob Iger, and that my client, Jeannie Buss, is, quote, out as controlling owner. This is just the latest instance of a years-long pattern whereby Joey and Jesse Buss leak false, defamatory, and pernicious, quote, information to Mr. Charania for the malicious purpose of doing harm to the Los Angeles Lakers, as long as Dr. Buss's chosen successor, Jeannie Buss, carries out, so long as Dr. Buss's chosen successor, Jeannie Buss, carries out her father's wishes, end quote. And that last phrase there, Dr. Buss's chosen successor, Jeannie Buss. The thing about that is, Jeannie wasn't Dr. Buss's first choice. Jim Buss got the first bite at the apple. And yeah, eventually Jeannie was able to take over, and used this kind of phrasing to do so. Eventually Jeannie was able to take over for Jim Buss, and she kept telling everybody. And at a time when her Q rating was significantly higher, more people were, and Jim's was significantly lower, more people were listening to the notion that Dr. Buss wanted Jeannie eventually anyway, after Jim got his opportunity to try to run the Lakers. So she's you know, bringing back that approach, at least publicly, to this situation. Look, I don't care is the thing. I just don't care about the children of, you know, the guy who built this whole thing. I don't care about their internal squabbles. It's been funny to watch everybody compare it to Succession now. This has been going on a long time. The thing about the Succession thing is, like, it's wildly apt, almost to the point where I find myself wondering if Succession was in part written about the Lakers, or at least the Buss family. It wasn't. It was about the Murdochs. But, like, you had Shiv Roy, right, who is the genie figure here. You had Kendall Roy, who would be the gym figure here. I think you had the Culkin character, whose name eludes me right now. He was kind of the stand-in, or could be the stand-in, for Jesse and Joey as, like, the younger sibling here. And it's even the part that makes it the funniest is that at no point did the Roy, that like trio of Roys, ever consider Connor as like, who was the oldest Roy sibling. They never really considered him that, and as like the guy who should run the Roy estate after you know, as part of the succession plan. And then what makes that even funnier on top of that, you know, seeing as Johnny has never like really come up in any of these conversations. He kind of stepped off to the side. He didn't want to do it. But the funny thing about Johnny is there's Connor Roy, who was the oldest kid, who was never really considered. Connor Roy randomly out of nowhere just says, "You know what? I'm running for president." And the rest of the Roy kids are like, "What? Really? What? Oh, okay. Go do you." You know, as long as you are focused on that, you aren't focused on running the Roy estate. And the best part about this is Johnny randomly out of nowhere ran for president. It's just perfect. But anyway, as all of this is kind of going on, you know, you have, this last, you know, kind of sentence, Jeannie Buss, who is Dr. Buss's chosen successor. It doesn't, like, you guys decided to sell. Once Jeannie Buss decided to sell the majority of their shares to Mark Walter, the implication there at that point is that this, like, Dr. Buss's wishes didn't matter as much anymore. Now, you could maybe argue that Dr. Buss's wishes were to eventually watch his kids sell the team because of the way that he wrote up the trust, in that, like, it was like the percentages of the Lakers couldn't be diluted by way of birth and children being added to the fray here. Dr. Buss basically said, "Fuck them kids," when he was writing this thing up. And basically, like, as every Buss sibling passes away, so long as this, you know, this was carried out this way, that Buss kids' shares who just died, yes, their families would be taken care of with, like, a lump sum payment or whatever, but the shares of the Lakers would actually be divvied up evenly amongst the remaining Buss kids. And then that would continue to happen until finally you would have, in theory, one kid who would control singularly the Lakers however many years from now. And that's why initially Jesse and Joey Buss were, like, not really voting for, not interested in selling the Lakers if those conversations came up. Jim and Johnny Buss were always kind of more open, I'm told, to selling the Lakers. Johnny Buss was never really as involved with the Lakers as some of his other siblings have been. So like the payout would have been just kind of nice for him. Jim Buss, like there's some speculation out there about his financial situation. So he has always been more open to, you know, selling the Lakers. Obviously, Jeannie was always adamantly against it because she wants to run this thing until she is no longer around to run it. And then Jeannie always kind of sided with Jeannie. And I think like actually basically just said, hey, however Jeannie votes, that's how I'm going to vote until I specify that I don't. And then, you know, you had Jesse and Joey who were like, there's a world where we can run the Lakers. And as time went on, and Baxter Holmes reported about this, as time went on, Jeannie became more and more embittered by the notion that Jesse and Joey didn't share mothers with Johnny, Jim, and Jeannie. By the way, there's an estranged bus kid that hasn't factored into this, but it's just, you know, adds to the mess. But anyway, Jeannie, over the years, has become more and more embittered by the notion that Jesse and Joey didn't share her same mother. And at one point told Jesse, you should never have been born. Jesse and Joey, maybe even, but told them both, you should never have been born, which is an insane thing for an adult to tell to another adult, let alone a sibling to tell to another sibling. And the notion that maybe one day Jesse and Joey could potentially run the Lakers didn't exactly sit well with her. And she would rather have had this final 5-year window after selling the Lakers than to eventually see Jesse and Joey ever get to control the Lakers, even if she was watching them control the Lakers from the great beyond. So it's just this giant mess. And it's a real bummer that Jeannie became as involved with Winning Time as she did, because that show continuing on for this chapter of the bus saga would have been incredible. But unfortunately, because Jeannie got involved, the show got worse and it got canceled. And, you know, we will never get that version of the show that covers this stuff too. But it is just, it's just crazy. You know, it, like all of this stuff is just crazy. And again, I'm going to take a quick second here, but when we come back, I want to just ask the question, who is Jeannie running the Lakers best for? I don't think it's the Lakers. Again, I want to separate Mark Walter's financial situation from the success that he had with the Dodgers. So Jeannie asks or negotiates this window with Mark Walter when all that the vast majority of us knew about Mark Walter was the success that he had with the Dodgers, who, yeah, they're in a bit of a slump right now, but are still favorites, I believe, to win the World Series this year and complete the first three-peat in baseball in decades. As it was, I think they were the first team to repeat in 25 years. That's a great comment from That Savage. Now I see why they couldn't give LeBron a decent roster after 2020. Yeah, it's just too much bullshit going on. But anyway, so at a time when all anybody knew about Mark Walter and his group was the way that they transformed the Dodgers from the mess that it was under the McCourts to the behemoth that it is now, where they are such a juggernaut that baseball might be heading towards a lockout because of it. Jeannie was like, yeah, that's cool, all the success that you've had over there. But Rob and the Rambi and I got this. Don't worry about it. Like, we're good. And, you know, it's that, like, in, I should have paid closer attention to that as kind of a statement of Jeannie's priorities. And, you know, now you fast forward to right now, where at a time where, sure, I don't know, like, how Iger and Kushner are going to run the Lakers. I truly don't know. Nobody can know. right now. But at a time where I think everybody is just ready to kind of move on, and everybody is, you know, like, just like, let's turn the page. Let's forget that Walter thing happened. Let's honestly forget a lot of this nonsense that was taking place with the Buss family. At a time where I think if you were to poll Lakers fans, they would honestly overwhelmingly vote, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and move forward. And I think that, you know, now fighting the way and like dragging this out potentially into training camp, which starts in like weeks, potentially, Jeannie Buss would rather potentially go to court and draw this thing out in court and have this knockdown drag out in court, at a time where the Lakers don't have a starting caliber power forward. Again, basketball, this is a basketball team. Like, that tells me that this is no longer and maybe has never been about what is actually best for the Lakers. And it has actually always been about what has been better for Jeannie Buss and her friends. And I, for one thing, like, one red flag has always been, like, I've always been iffy about people who had a closer group of friends than their like family and their siblings. That's always like, that's always been a little weird to me. And that seems to have been the case with Jeannie and her friends. And then, you know, secondly, it's a situation here where, like Dan Wojcicki reported in his article, and it made me laugh when I read it, but, in the article that Dan Wojcicki wrote for The Athletic today, he was talking about how all of this ambiguity and all of this questions about Lakers leadership and stuff like that has played a role in the Lakers ability to fill out the front office. I laughed at it because it's like that feels like Rob being like, oh yeah, sorry guys, my hands are tied. I don't know what to do here. But like if it is in fact impacting or making it harder for the Lakers to fill those positions that would help them put a better basketball product on the court, then to me, it's not even a question anymore. Like it's just rip the Band-Aid off and move forward. I truly don't know how this is going to play out between the five siblings who voted to sell and the notion of Jeannie Buss as the controlling governor. I don't know. Like I'm not a trust lawyer. I've spoken to a few people and gotten kind of a split decision. But like for the most part, it's just kind of like, I don't want to know how this is going to play out. I just want to be done with all of this. I spent 20, 25 minutes trying to set the table for how we arrived here. You know how complicated and convoluted that story was? I'm sick of caring about that stuff. And I'm not saying that Bob Iger and Josh Kushner might not bring some of that stuff too. All of these owners probably suck to some degree as a human being. But at the end of the day, if you were to like ask yourself what is best for the Lakers right now, I just can't imagine that a drawn out litigation between siblings on what matters more, 5-1 votes or a controlling governor's vote, when, you know, the season is getting ready to start. And by the way, this is all taking place the year before Luka Doncic, or as Luka Doncic is looking around at the landscape of not just the Lakers and you know, the team that he currently plays for, but also the rest of the league, to try to figure out, like, is this what's best for me and my career moving forward? Like, I wouldn't want this to be one. Like, Luka Doncic's first impression with the Lakers so far, a year and a half in, has been Rob Pelinka trading for the center that he wanted, And then having to rescind that trade because they didn't do enough intel on that player and found out he has a bad enough back that they were able to rescind the trade. And then, you know, Luca then watched these people, Genie, Rob, the Rambi, like run LeBron out of town. He then, by the way, like watched a not just a trade deadline after he was brought in kind of go by, but a full transaction cycle later in the summer when the Lakers told him, just wait till next summer. LeBron's contract comes off of the books. I know it's a year of your prime, but like, just wait. We promise that offseason is going to be good enough to make up for waiting for this one. He waited for that summer. He waited through another trade deadline when he got that same message, arrived at this offseason, and the Lakers didn't have the assets to build the roster that was worth waiting a year and a half to arrive to. And then that's the basketball aspect of his experience so far. But you extract from that, or you extend those potential frustrations. And yes, he was very active in helping build out this roster, but I don't think this is a good enough roster to compete for the championships that he is expected to compete for. As all of that's going on, he watched the Buss family sell to Mark Walter. And then had this weird 5-year dynamic that he was supposed to wait for, and then found out that the team that or the owner that they sold to wasn't wealthy enough to afford the Lakers and was in the middle of a federal investigation, and then that owner has to then sell to Bob Iger and to Josh Kushner. Another set of owners that Luca will have to learn about and from, you know, as part of this process again. And like all of this in a year and a half, a season and a half, like if I were like, ask yourself, if you were Luka Doncic, like this feels a lot like that meme, right? Where it's like, damn, you live like this. Like that's how Luka has to be looking at the Lakers was like, damn, like this is how you guys are living?
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this just like reality for you? Is this what reality is going to be for me moving forward? And by the way, Bob Iger, as Harrison pointed out yesterday, Bob Iger is most closely tied to Chris Paul, somebody who Luka Doncic doesn't really like. So like this might, all of this nonsense is taking place at a time when the Lakers were supposed to be putting their best foot forward for Luka. And yeah, like the amount that they can pay him in the extension and Luka's just kind of inherent loyalty might just lead him to re-sign with the Lakers anyway. But would you blame him if he didn't? Would you blame him if he was like, let's hold off on the extension. Let's figure out if you guys are actually going to be around here for the end of that extension. How about that? You know, again, like if your Genie is you going to court once again against your siblings for the hope of continuing to run the Lakers in a way that didn't really maximize the LeBron and AD window, hasn't fully maximized the Luka window to this point. Is that what is best for the Lakers? You continuing to run things the way that you have run them, is what is best for the Lakers? I don't think it is. I think it's purely ego driven selfishness that is putting the specific brand that she, you know, keeps on arguing she cares about more than anybody at maybe the greatest risk, much greater risk than Jim Buss ever put it before she fired him. All right, let's answer some questions and send you guys on your merry way. Well, I don't know how merry any of us are, but anyway. Let's see. So Zach 5488, didn't all the siblings have a chance to vote against the sale to Mark Walter? They did. They had that opportunity to vote against it. And the reporting in the moment when it was taking place was kind of split on, you know, who was for and who was against it. So at the time of the initial vote, the reporting on it was that Jeannie was for it, right? Because she negotiated this window for herself. Jeannie was for it because at that time, Jeannie was always voting along Jeannie's lines, which has since changed because Jeannie fired Jeannie. The older brothers, Johnny and Jim, they both voted to sell, and that 4-2 number was all that was necessary. Now, there were some rumblings, there was some reporting at the time that initially Jesse and Joey were against selling the team, and that's part of why they were so quickly fired, was the speculation at the time. But it turns out eventually, you know, they kind of they tried to, you know, save face a little bit, voted to sell alongside the rest of the siblings, and that was how that decision was first come to in the first place. That apparently, this opportunity to sell now only came by way of Walter selling to Iger and Kushner, which is why when Jeannie caught wind that Walter was getting ready to sell to Iger and Kushner, she reportedly set up this meeting to lock down those votes as they were in the first place so that she continue on for the next 4 years as controlling governor. But once the Buss siblings found out about that, they said, nope, not doing that. Instead, let's just sell whatever we continue to own now to Iger and Kushner. And that leads us to this moment now where billionaires are fighting over billionaire things. All right. Let's see. Let's see. I'm going through here. Some funny back and forth here about, like, you know, LeBron being to blame for the dysfunction. I saw that as a couple of tweets out there, and it's been funny to see, like, you know, which members of the Lakers Twitter community Jeannie kind of wrapped her arm around, because that group continues to stand the way that they have. But if you're just looking at this objectively, I don't think. That Jeannie continuing on as the owner is what's, you know, in the best interests of the Lakers, Lakers fans, this organization moving forward. Like, she can, like, this, what I would wonder, you know, might come of the next step if Jeannie does win the rights, you know, win this lawsuit potentially against her siblings in this voting dispute. Even if she wins this thing, would Bob Iger and Josh Kushner push to fire her for cause, or, you know, push to sell, buy those shares for cause, given the amount of distraction that has come from all of this? I don't even know how that works, but if I were Iger and Kushner, I would be like, we really appreciate all the work that the Buss family did to get this brand to where it is now, but we feel we cannot reach the heights that we are striving to reach while we deal with all of this nonsense over there. You guys had your chance. Walter gave you this window. You trusted the wrong guy. You backed the wrong horse. And unfortunately, it's going to cost you the 4 years that you thought you controlled the Lakers for. And, you know, sometimes you bet the wrong, you know, you bet red when black is coming up, you bet black when red was coming up, or you bet either of those colors and green comes up. It's just sometimes how it plays out. It's tough to feel sorry for anybody when it's like, oh no, we have to make an extra $300 million. Like, enjoy that $300 million. If it's really that important to you to continue running, I understand. So like there's this thing about Genie where like one of the things I've heard about Genie and noticed about Genie is that like she's like some of the people that I know and who death is kind of difficult for her to wrap her head around or, you know, to move on from, especially with people that she respects and loves. And with her dad, you kind of see that with her dad. There's a episode of a Netflix show where she speaks to a medium with the hope that she could reconnect with her dad through that medium on Netflix. I don't know if it's still even on Netflix there, but it was a Netflix show that she appeared in an episode for. And then the way that I have heard that she talks about Kobe is, you know, like Dennis Schroeder mentioned it in that one podcast episode where he's like, yeah, you know, Rob is just constantly talking about Kobe. Genie is that. And then some, to the point where I've heard that like LeBron was fighting this losing battle where anytime LeBron or Rich Paul or anybody from Clutch would do something that Genie or Rob didn't like, Genie specifically would, you know, frequently say, Kobe would have never done that. And it's just, you know, I'm not saying that LeBron was blameless. You know, obviously him pushing for Russell Westbrook the way that he did, and Rob also pushing for Russell Westbrook, Genie pushing for Russell Westbrook, and those three entities agreeing to trade for Russell Westbrook, like that set the organization back decades, or at least years, seasons. You know, at the end of the day, I think a lot of this dysfunction that you're seeing, you know, like as soon as LeBron is gone, like it tells me that LeBron was, you know, a mask for a lot of nonsense that was taking place. And it kind of reminds me of Peyton Manning back in the day, where the Colts were this kind of shitty organization. They draft Peyton Manning. They start winning 13, 14, 15 games a season. Peyton Manning gets hurt. And they immediately win like one game the following season. This feels a lot like that, where, you know, the Lakers, you know, have been kind of drugged to relevance by LeBron and his ability to fight off Father Time the way that he has. And, you know, to Rob Pelinka's credit, he was able to convince Nico to trade Luka, though there are some people you talk to who just say Nico just really, really, really wanted Anthony Davis. But they took advantage of that situation and they extended this window the way that they did. But end of the day, it's just kind of like all of that stuff, the infighting, the rowing in the wrong direction, the tug of wars that have taken place within the Lakers walls. You can see how, and then that combined with, you know, the paranoia that has kind of seeped into Genie and her inner circle about leaks and stuff like that. Like you can kind of see how this organization just hasn't been running at an optimal level. And for somebody to sue over the right to continue running it that way, or it's just, that's not what's best for this team. Let's see. The mistake that Anthony made is that he thought the Dodgers model could be employed in the NBA. You can't just overspend in the NBA. All right, Sean, I get this constantly. The notion that somebody who began my career covering baseball, would not know that they don't have a cap, a salary cap over there. And the NBA does, the NBA, by the way, a league that I've been covering for 15 years, does have a salary cap. Just give me a tiny little bit of credit. The Dodgerification of the Lakers wasn't just going to be that, you know, the Lakers were going to spend all the way into the second apron so deeply that eventually they would install a third apron. No, that wasn't ever what I was talking about. What I was talking about was that when Mark Walter took over, he said, all right, we are going to hire Andrew Friedman away from the Tampa Bay, at that time, Devil Rays. Maybe they are the Rays already, but regardless, we're going to hire Friedman away from the Rays. We're going to hire Anthopoulos away from the Blue Jays. We're going to hire Farhan Zaidi away from the A's. Or Zadie, as somebody told me I should be saying his name. And there's always this one more guy who I always forget, but I think he's currently running the Rockies. He basically said, all right, four horsemen, you guys come in. Stan Kasten, who had success with the Braves in the past. You guys come in. We're going to spend oodles of money on the minor league system, and we're going to spend oodles of money on development and medical advancements and advantages. We're going to spend like every single way that we can spend, we are going to spend. And yes, that also extended into their roster, but the Lakers have never done any of those things. The Lakers have never done like their scouting department is non-existent right now. They went through an entire draft process and their big hire was a consultant who said like whose job it was to like look for wings, you know, and it's the Lakers organization just doesn't run in a way that allows it to compete consistently with the other organizations around the league that do run that way. Lakers still don't employ a shooting coach. Everybody always complains about the fact that all of these guys show up to the Lakers who they trade for or acquire to shoot the basketball well, and they forget to shoot as their Lakers. They don't employ a shooting coach. Like, so all of these things, Sean, that I talk about when I talk about the Lakers needing to be Dodgerfied, of course, I mean some additions to the roster and, you know, ensuring that luxury taxes would never cost the Lakers Alex Caruso ever again. But far more importantly was the spending on scouting, on development coaches, on individual course coaches, on trainers and doctors, on analytical departments, on scouting, like all of these things that the Lakers just historically have not prioritized. Those are the things that I wanted the Lakers to improve with. And I thought that Mark Walter would be able to eventually improve those things with. And initially, the thought was he would get there and he would be able to do that right away. Except that the person standing in the way of him doing those things and spending that way was Jeannie Buss, because she thought the way that she had been running the Lakers recently was significantly better and is a more successful tactic than the ways that the Dodgers had been run recently. That is the point that I'm trying to make there. It's never been about just about the spending on the roster. It's like tiny little bit of credit. All right. I think I'm going to wrap things up here because I have to go pick up the oldest. Yeah, thanks, Rod. The mistake that Sean made is thinking Anthony doesn't know anything about baseball. The thing is, I played baseball my whole life. I've been a crazy Dodgers fan. Like the group chats that I have about the Dodgers, I am a crazy person in. You guys think that I hold the Lakers to a high standard, or that I'm like reactionary about the Lakers. That's how I'm about the Dodgers to the nth degree. Covered them, played baseball, all that stuff. Like it's the way that look, it's a bummer because I think eventually it's going to end with Walter where he's going to have to sell the Dodgers too. And I don't know that the next owner is going to be step in and do things exactly the same way. I don't want to see the Dodgers fall back to
the McCourt era. But it might, you know, and it's all just because, you know, billionaires are allowed to treat their companies like credit lines. And apparently who gets to and who doesn't get to is decided at the whims of who knows whom. And a lot of these things are going to come to an end. But the same hope that I had for Mark Walter and Josh Kushner, the same hope I had for Mark Walter, I'm going to hold for Bob Iger and Josh Kushner, in that just start spending on the basketball. Start spending and start hiring at the same level that, or ideally at a higher level than the rest of the league. Stop with this mom and pop bullshit in a multi-billion dollar industry. It's just that's all I've been asking for. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications, all that good stuff. Today's show is brought to you in part by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. And until tomorrow, when who knows what I'll be talking about, hopefully basketball. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you then or soon. Who knows?
Bye, everyone.